you've made it through another week. And now, you don't know what to watch. Can't Netflix and chill, because it's been family movie night ever since the damn Rona hit. Not to worry, these bros got you covered. With reviews on movies and streaming shows. Even YouTube. And yes, I said YouTube. This is the Bro Rants Movie Review Show. Better grab some popcorn. It's gonna be good.
Welcome back, Friday. Oh, 2021. This is our first movie review for 2021, man. Oh,
yes, it is.
Feels good to be back, and it feels good that it's Friday. Jeff, thank you for coming back and doing the show with us today, man.
Appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure.
Cousin Jeff in the building.
Cousin Jeff, not Jazzy, but Cousin Jeff.
Damn, we should have said Jazzy Jeff, right? Yeah, dang, sorry. That's my bad.
We can edit that out. Jazzy Jeff in the house.
We could edit it out, but you know,
can't do that until I first pay homage.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta pay homage to Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, and not only that, I'm getting his ass back for the other day, for Monday, the Monday show. So, man, wonderful. What do you guys got this week? Right now, we got Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes, we do, with two wonderful actors. Lakeith Stanfield and Daniel Kaluuya.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, they're teaming back up from the first show. Was what, Get Out?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
How about
that's
that?
Right. That's right. They were and they were get out
together.
Yeah. What's the movie about?
So basically, we've got Bill O'Neill, who infiltrates the Black Panther Party per FBI agent Mitchell and J. Edgar Hoover. As party chairman Fred Hampton ascends, falling from fellow revolutionary en route, battle wages for O'Neill's soul.
Damn. All right, yo. You know what? Wow, without further ado.
That sounded pretty deep right there.
It did sound deep, man. This shit is deep. Without further ado, man, let's see the trailer.
Like the masses, I was in awe when I first laid eyes on all the things you are. I heard that speech. I knew we'd make noise. I just thought it'd be in the streets.
The Black Panthers are the single greatest threat to our national security. Our counterintelligence program must prevent the rise of a Black Messiah.
You're looking at 18 months for the stolen car, 5 years for impersonating a federal officer, or you can go home.
What do you want?
Get close to Hampton.
The Black Panthers are forming a rainbow coalition of oppressed brothers and sisters of every color.
Neutralize him by any means necessary.
America's on fire right now. And until that fire is extinguished, nothing else means a damn thing. Imagine what we could accomplish together. We can heal this whole city.
You ain't tell me it was gonna be like this. These ain't no terrorists.
We got a rat, man.
Does anybody else know about me?
No one knows your identity.
Are you sure?
We educate, we nurture, we feed, and we lobby. But perhaps we're here for more than just war with these bodies. We scream. And we shout. And we live by this anthem. But it's power to the people really worth their ransom.
When I dedicated my life to the people, I dedicated my life.
You get to go out there and talk about dying a revolutionary death. Because you don't have another person growing inside your body.
Anywhere there's people, there's power.
Anywhere there's people, there's power. That's powerful.
Power to the people.
Power to the people. I am a revolutionary. No, that was, damn, man. That film, yeah, I knew about, I heard about Fred Hampton before the film, but just dedication, the determination, the concentration of a 21-year-old, that's what threw me off. It's like, he's an old soul, a revolutionary at that age, putting everything on the line, being a sacrificial lamb, knowing that he's not going to live past the maybe 30s, knowing that he's going to die and he'll be for the people, and that's the only way he'll live, like he says in his speech. Damn. I mean, what do you guys think about the film, man?
I'll let you go ahead, Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going into this, I read a couple of reviews and something really resonated with me. Someone said something along the lines of, the movie took me through a range of emotions, which, you know, sometimes can be the mark of an excellent film. And I think, you know, that analysis is spot on. You know, regardless of your background or how you grew up, regardless of your creed or color, I think it's really hard to watch that movie and not feel a range of different emotions, but even more so if you can identify with any part of it. And I agree with you, considering his age. And not only that, but, you know, often in history, this image is painted of the Black Panther Party just being angry and violent. So I think one of the great things of this film is, you know, as they tap into some of the inner city programs that they had in support of their neighborhoods, whether it was feeding or protection, and the way he went about handling his business. And of course, you know, some of this is open to interpretation. It was super impressive. There was times that, you know, I had my fist pumped. There was times that I was angry. Again, you know, just the mark of a good film.
I agree wholeheartedly. 21 years old. What was I doing 21? I was partying, going to the clubs. I wasn't thinking about people other than myself. I was selfish. Here he was. He was a negotiator. He was able to go in and talk to anybody in any situation. I mean, the part when he went to the Klan rally, basically.
Yeah.
The white pride party.
Yeah.
Then he went to the Puerto Ricans. Then he went to the Crowns, knowing that, you know, something could go off at any time.
Yeah.
Went in there, he just said, hey, I'm here to communicate. I'm here to talk. I want to make things better.
Yep.
I want to get together with everyone. And so it just, I didn't know all that about him. All I knew really was that he died at a young age. And he was a Black Panther. That's all I knew from when I was a kid. I didn't know that he was a negotiator. I didn't know he did the free breakfast programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. So the movie was amazing to me. But what I really wanted to know about really was O'Neal.
Yeah, what about him?
That's who I was watching the whole movie was O'Neal.
Yeah. yeah, we watched the entire movie, and it's crazy, man. I did hear about Jeff, and I know family friend Terry told me about Fred Hampton and how he was just a brilliant young brother that they snuffed out real quick.
They did. Dirty.
And the crazy part about it is what I walked away from this, and I, you know, this is it was I heard Papa Duck, you know, Papa Duck on Instagram. He was saying, oh man, they keep showing these movies where us and this and this, and I'm like, well, you know, it shouldn't be showing all these movies, but you know, we have that, we can't you know, that the Black River, you know, trying to make change and you get snuffed out. But I'm like, this is history. You can't ignore something like this. This is actual history. And what I didn't like, which we know, the FBI was involved with Martin Luther King.
Yes.
It's been proven. They won in court. The family won in court. And with this guy, the police, you had the Chicago police. You had the, you know, the DA. You had the FBI all in correlation to assassinate someone that was not an extremist.
No.
And the only thing he was focused on was bringing the people together.
Yeah.
So once he, you know, they said it was the Hoover, it was the most dangerous threat inside of...
they labeled him as the most dangerous threat to America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Just because, and you know, the funny thing about it, because they had O'Neill was like, yo, they're not terrorists. They're just feeding kids.
That's right.
But what he was able to do, because this is what happened to Martin Luther King. He started worrying about the poor people and mm-hmm. worried about the Vietnam War. Same thing with Fred Hampton. He was worried about the poor people and the Vietnam War. Once Martin Luther King switched up his song, they were like, yo, they didn't care about the integration. They cared about, yo, you messing with our money when it comes to this war. And now you're trying to work with the people as far as the unions and worry about that, because it's a class thing. A lot of people say that the racist thing, it has to do with class. Once you get over the economical differences, you see that, oh, shit, we all have one enemy, one common enemy. And that's the one calling the shots. And I think that the fact that it's glorified, you know what I mean? Like, we're watching this. The family got paid out. One, not the families that were killed. The two families that were killed. I think Martin Clark was the other guy. The other Black Panther that was killed with Fred Hampton that night.
Is that his name?
I believe it's Martin Clark. You know, you can research with me on that if you want. But they only, after like 12 years of being in the court system, going back and forth, they got a civil thing, which was the 1 point.
Yeah, 1.85 like that.
Like, come on.
It went down. It went down from like, what was it, 40 or 30 million?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, something
which
like
they
that.
Had every right. And how, once you realize the FBI is involved in the government, how does this even go? How is this even right? How are we still talking about FBI? You know what I mean? Like, it's been, back then they were the thugs, dude. You know what I mean? They were the thugs that, dirty. Yo, you following Malcolm X and setting up, and I believe they had something to do with Malcolm X.
Most likely.
Because they infiltrated that too. They infiltrated the Black Panthers with Huey Newton. They're
they pulling the strings.
Yeah. So I don't know if these films, I mean, I know they were glorifying him, but I don't know if these films, every time I see these films, I don't know if they're subliminal, like, hey, one man can't make a change. Just so you guys know. Yeah, we let you guys let this film out. Why? Because we want you to know, yeah, there was this guy. And there was this other guy, and we took care of him. So it's almost like it kind of makes you feel like, shit, damn.
Is it worth it?
You know, you're going to be a martyr, but you being a martyr, does this spark the seed to still have change? Or?
Well, you can't say it's not.
No, but I'm saying, like, will it spark change? Because you're like, God, they just take them all out.
Well, we're talking about it, right? So... That's always the starting point. Yeah. And I think we all, I mean, I can't speak for anyone else here. I walked away and I learned a lot that, guess what? I wasn't taught in history class.
Absolutely.
And I otherwise would have never known unless, A, I was willing to go and do the research myself, or thankfully for this film, I got some insight into what was really happening and the parties that were, like you said, collaborating to destroy that.
Absolutely.
And
crazy.
The one thing about history that as a young man I couldn't appreciate, but I do now, is you hear the term history repeats itself.
Absolutely.
And it's a very true saying. Like, you can't really move forward until you understand where you're from and what you've been through. And, you know, my takeaway from that wasn't necessarily that it was a stranglehold on hope or it was not encouraging, because you know what? Ultimately, you're going to get taken out. Because I don't think anyone takes on that role not understanding what's at stake. Even in the movie when she's pregnant and she's like vocalizing her concern as a mother, and you know, him putting himself in certain situations, he never wavers. And so I think when you understand the system that you're taking on, you accept the consequences of it. And what I think mirrors that time frame to what we're dealing with now is it doesn't take much for you to be identified under some tag and then be viewed as a potential threat to the powers that be, which then gives them the ability to access, you know, or take action is what I should say. Like, think of the BLM movement, right?
Yeah,
regardless of whether you agree or not, how much times have we heard in the last year, like, okay, this is a terrorist organization, it's funded by this, is again
by Soros.
Haven't done the research.
Some I know, right?
Some of that may be true. Does it change the movement? I don't know. And are we potentially watching history repeat itself? I don't know. But when you think of the BLM movement, here's what I do know. I know it is, there isn't a one specific leader.
Exactly.
So we get as we grow, we get smarter.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, fine. We understand it can't rotate around one or two, three people. So you know what? You come back and you introduce something new. So I think there is it can work both ways. It depends on how you look at it. If you're a guy half glass and the glass is half empty, then you're like, ah, throw in the towel, damn it. The system owns us all. But, you know, if you feel that inner spark, if you feel like, man, something isn't right, we should be better than this, then you know what? You probably watched that film and walk away inspired. Like, you know what? If under those conditions they were able to accomplish that much and they don't have the same platform of technology that we have now, how much further can we get along? Because no rebellion, you know, is successful right away. You know, there's a process involved.
Do you think we are? Do you think we have the mindset, the mental capacity that they had back then? I mean, they didn't have much distractions. We talked about Social Dilemma. They didn't have all this stuff that is more self-reflecting, more narcissistic. When it came to it, I mean, we are now in a class that it's just me. What my brand, you're a brand, let me brand myself, let me get this. So we're more selfish than I think they were back then. Back then it was one movement, it was one heartbeat. It was like this dude was 18 years old and he was working for the NAACP,
right?
And he was a youth organizer that I think they said he went from 500 members to 27,000 that he did. That's why he was really good at bringing people together. And he practiced on his speeches. I watched stuff since then leading up to this. There's researching more. And they said that's what he did. He was a great speaker because he practiced. Like you saw him playing the Malcolm X record in the movie. Mm-hmm. He practiced on the charisma, having that to draw people in. Amazing. And for us, we're just watching. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, Daniel is doing a great job. He's mimicking him. You know, but however he's speaking then is attracting them. Like Dr. King, because we were brought the textbooks, we learned about Dr. King.
Right.
So we've been inundated with Martin Luther King.
I have a dream.
So we know, oh man, we love the way he sounds like a reverend. That's why we probably all love listening to a Baptist minister in everything.
Okay.
They sold us that on mainstream. So to hear this guy with his Chicago accent, it's like I tried to understand. It was hard for me to understand some of the things he was saying. I don't know if it was for you guys as well.
In the beginning, it was
In the movie, because it was a different dialect.
Yes.
So I was like, damn, I'm trying to understand it, but that's why it was not mainstream. You know what I mean? But the way he talked, he it was for his people. You know, for that area that it was powerful. To me, I'm sitting here, it was kind of, you know, like I said, message everything, but I'm sitting here like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But it was hard for me to get into it because I got to hear the words. So I was like, damn, I need subtitles.
Right. And that's what I use.
Just subtitles. And I was like, got to need these damn subtitles, man. Yeah. But
I think to answer your question, I think we can. I think we can, even though we are predisposed and we're always doing things all the time. Like we're always on our devices and all that. But if you notice, when
things happened with George Floyd.
Yeah,
we united. I think
and Brenda, Breonna Taylor. Yeah,
yeah. And so I mean, it wasn't just in America; it was worldwide.
And what was the other guy that was jogging?
Oh, Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah,
okay. I mean it.
But even the Me Too movement, you know, with the women, you saw the type of world platform that received. And, you know, you mentioned the word selfish.
Yeah.
And some of it is selfish.
Yeah.
But I'd probably say I'd maybe go from selfish and say self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of in the same vein. It just stings a little less. But really, the issue isn't even so much that. I think we have been peddled just conformity, meaning that we're so super comfortable in our situation that it's like, that's too much work. Like when, think about this, when I can sit here right now and even in the middle of this podcast, I can hop on my phone and have a coffee delivered or, you know, or something off of Amazon, you know, before I shut off the lights tonight. We've developed this real comfort. But to what you're saying, when the message rings true, when it's something that resonates, we all step outside of that and realize, because you can identify with it, even if it's not happening to you, there's a human element to us that is always going to be able to identify and say, hey, that's not right. I need to be a part of that because that can't go on. And so that's why with today's platform, it something like that would probably be 10 times more successful, potentially.
Yeah. I agree, because I tell you this. So we did like a protest march on the Dunlop Bridge over here in Port Orange.
Yeah.
Port Orange is 99% white, right? Did a protest march on the bridge.
Is that factual? Or just pulling it out?
Pretty much.
Just a visual.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Let me go watch.
Most of the folks who marched on that bridge were white, right? So the day after we did the march, people I work with were like, hey, did you know they had a march on, you know, in Port Orange and about the George Floyd thing? I said, yeah, I was there. And they were like, oh, you were there? And I was like, yeah, I was there. And they were like, yeah, you know, it was, that's right, you should have marched. People who I didn't think would say that were saying that, because usually they think protesting is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said, they don't want to go out of their norm. But when something that we all connect and resonate with, we can make a change, and people do resonate with that, and they want to do the right thing.
That's it.
Yeah. And speak on it. Port Orange is 81% non-Hispanic white.
That's close, man.
5% black. Okay. Not close. He said 99%. Okay. That was pretty up there, bro.
Listen to all my white friends out there. They know what I mean. And secondly on that right there, it failed 99% white.
Okay. Gonna edit that out. Lakeith, you know, imagine this guy playing Judas. He underwent therapy after playing that role.
Really,
the actor went under therapy after playing that role. Think about it. I mean, as an actor, you have to go deep, and not only that, to be playing in either you're the character. So he's actually in that moment, living what that guy lived, and it is fucking crazy, guys. Because, I'll get to that. But did you have any empathy for William O'Neill? Watching what he was going through the film, did you see the thing he was in? Think about it. We all say we would never do this, but at the end of the day, that's your ass.
I do. I do have empathy for him. I do because, listen, it's obvious that he got pulled over. Whatever reason he got arrested, I don't think he was doing bad. I don't think the way they portrayed it,
it was exactly
how it went down as far as him being with the FBI. I don't think that's how it really exactly went down like that.
No, it did.
Not exactly like that.
As far as what? What do you mean?
Like, it wasn't like they caught him stealing a car. They caught him stealing a car
crossing state line. So it was federal.
But it wasn't like the same day they went and got a FBI agent and all that.
When it's federal, they got him. They have to contact the federal.
Okay.
When you cross state line, it's no longer a local issue. It's federal.
Okay. But so
Let's just say that it went the way the movie went, right? Boom.
Not right there, because it happened right there on the street. It didn't happen like that. He crossed state line.
Okay. All right. So with that said, with all the time they was about to give him, and and the guy says, well, you can go to jail or you can go home. You want to go home. Bro, you want to go home, bro. And they tell you, all you got to do is give me some information. That's all you
got
to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's got zero affiliation with them at that point. Right. Too. So it's like, hey, you know, it's fight or flight. I'm trying to save my ass.
That's right.
What's happening in jail, and it's nothing good.
Yeah, I'm not going to jail for nobody. So he goes, and then he goes in there, and you know, I'm sure he was keeping things like, well, you know, I'm only here for me. I'm not here with this. I'm a fake it till I make it, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, but I'm sure, you know, as time went on, he got, you know, watching Fred Hampton. Of course, Fred Hampton is genuine, pure. You know, he's a real.
Couldn't find any dirt on him. Yeah,
he couldn't find. He didn't do drugs and nothing. He wouldn't. You know, so
yeah.
I'm sure that was a little bit of in the conflict between himself. But at the end of the day, he didn't want to go to jail.
No, he didn't want to go to jail. But at the end, like I'm saying, all of us put in that situation, we're going to save our ass because at the end of the day.
I would love to say that I would have been
that stand-up dude, right?
I would love to say that.
But you wouldn't be. Yeah. But why would you? Here's the thing. If we're speaking on a character, a protagonist and antagonist, him being the antagonist in real life, let's see. You're talking about someone that is built to he stole and stole people's vehicles, and that's just how his nature was. So they basically found the right guy.
Right.
Because that's how he's always been about himself.
You saw how they poised the approach they took, and you know, I don't know how close to reality that is, where they prefaced the proposition with, well, how did you feel about this one's death? So they were already probing, looking for those psychological markers to be like, okay, is this our guy?
Exactly.
So they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I just and the crazy thing about when they asked for him for the floor plan, because I already looked and knew what was happening.
He knew what was up.
He was like, "Nah, you guys ain't gonna kill him, right?"
He knew what was up. I mean, he already did it before.
Huh?
Did he do it before with something else? With
he never got involved in killing anyone. He helped from what I read from the stuff, he basically admitted, like, he's the one that helped create the rifts between the other gangs and whatnot. But it was crazy how they were like, yo, sitting there, hey, they right, I'm digging, right? Digging, oh, right?
Been up the propaganda.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Fake news.
Yes.
Fake news. And I'm like,
yo, how is this possible? How are you guys always in stuff?
But he wasn't the only one who was, that had betraying the Black Panther.
They had
like 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah, because they had it in the other what do you call it? The other
groups
that was with Huey Newton and everything.
Uh huh.
All of them, they basically destroyed, dismantled. Which is crazy. You're talking about their revolution won't die because they're revolutionary. Because his son Junior, he's with the NAACP. No, chairman. Is he with the chairman? Is he now the chairman of the?
I thought he's doing the Fred Hampton thing, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. When didn't he was doing the Fred Hampton? Maybe I got that wrong.
What? He's now the chairman of either the NAACP or the Black Panther.
Okay,
new Black Panther thing.
It's the Black Panther thing.
That's what he's on there. Yeah, right. He's the chairman of that now. Mm-hmm. Things don't die. But when I hear things like that, to me, it's like the first. It's like no matter. It's like Jordan. Jordan's kids can never replace that. They don't have that same gift, that same talent.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King Jr. Son didn't have that.
Right.
I mean, they're going off of name. He can try to replicate with his father, but there's one.
Right. Yeah, like Eazy-E son.
He had a son? So on that note, but what I wanted to leave off with, they did the interview. He had one interview. They did one interview with the William O'Neill, and he looks really close to Lakeith.
He does.
He looks really close to Lakeith, and
Keith looks close to him.
Very. Yeah. There you go. And they did it. He was like, "Yeah, I infiltrated them." The fact that he stayed on like, 7 years, whatever years after Hampton's death, till it was finally shut down. The Black Panther. Why I keep saying the department, the group, whatever, not the group. What do you call that? They have a specific word for it.
are the different chapters?
Yes. Thank you, God. The chapters. Look at this Muslim over here. Yes, the chapters, brother. I knew I should ask because he is. I'm sorry, Salika. So they did that. You know, they did the documentary. They had the one interview this man had.
Right.
And they said, I mean, he made $300 after the death of Hampton. They gave him a bonus for that. They wrote him a check.
And at that time, I don't know what $300 was.
$300 was bread back then.
It was a lot, brother. Because they were getting like what? I don't know. Were they getting like $50 a week or something?
I think they say he grossed $200,000.
Yeah, $200,000 he made.
Totally.
He did one interview. They showed the documentary for something. That same day, he ran across the highway and committed suicide.
So here's the thing, right?
So it was like Judas getting picked. It was like
your question regarding empathy. There's definitely empathy there. Absolutely. Because what he did was, it's like Jay said in one of his rhymes, like, you know what? You know, you always going to be in prison minus the bars. And that's basically what he found himself in this situation in. Is okay, so he wasn't in your standard prison setup, but might as well have been. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And every time he, from what it looks like, every time he thought, like, okay, well, I've done enough. They're like, nah.
Yo.
Nah,
you ain't paid that bill yet.
Yo, after he was dead, they were like, yo, God, you signed, you know, you're still going on. After he was already taken out.
Yeah. So you figure, you said he stayed on, what, seven after?
Something like that, yeah, dude.
And then he was involved for what? We want to put him at, what, eight to 10 years? Yes. I mean, that's half his potential.
Yes, brother.
A sentence right there.
And when they did the interview, he had no empathy. I mean, he had no, like, he's like, yeah, I worked with him and I did this. It was more so matter of fact, nonchalant, like, no remorse for what you did. And you know, you probably carry that.
He might have seemed that way, but I tell
if you look at no, I'm saying the way
saw,
he came
I,
off.
I saw a little bit of that interview.
Yeah, when he came off, like it was like not that thing, and then I rubbed, and he was clean. And
but you don't know him though.
No.
Killed himself.
Yeah, he committed suicide. He ran across the highway with traffic and got hit by a car.
Is that what the FBI said?
About who verified?
Yo, that? He's one of them people, bro.
You know what I mean? Is that what the FBI said?
Nah, that's what he did, bro. When that thing came out,
I get it, but I'm just saying
when he was exposed. Listen, he was exposed.
Right.
He was never exposed before. He was exposed. Right. People see your what you've done. And here's the thing: you're talking about now. This is the 1980s or 89. I forgot what year it was.
Mm-hmm.
You are out, and people find out. Yo, you
the one that did it.
You're the one that did it, and we here.
He knew too much.
Yeah. We here. You gone. Oh, yeah, that could be he knew too much.
Yeah,
but. It could be like, damn, my people are going after me.
Start giving names and start giving information and start giving back, you know, fine details as to what was taking place. Like that's a loose end.
Yeah. Well, one of the things before we close, they were saying that, you know, Shaka King, the director, one of the reviews that I've seen people saying that they had more compassion for the FBI agent that was forcing him to do stuff than them painting more compassion or empathy for you to feel for O'Neill's character. Or Neo in the movie, because they were made it seem like the guy was had more like the FBI was more when Hoover was like, oh, we got a thing, and he was like, huh, you we killed the rat,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, what? He wasn't even a rat. We killed him. And it going against even more of think morals.
Yeah.
When he was like, you know, the FBI agent was like, huh? So they said the way it was painted, like they have more compassion for him.
You're trying to get this movie put out. Sometimes you got to concede on certain things, right?
And so, yeah, that's true.
I have to believe that was maybe an artistic choice, just for the sake of like being able to get the movie out. Because so the three of us watched it. Do any of us, and I can only speak for myself, but did the two of you even hone in on that? Like, when you walked away from that movie,
no.
Did that even resonate with you even a little bit?
No.
Exactly. So,
because when you asked for that address, when you asked for the thing, he was like, yo, where's it?
Yeah.
So you know, like, sometimes you got to concede, you know, on maybe what you want the full product to look like for the sake of, like, all right, let's just get it out here. But I think if the goal was to tell... to talk about the history and the inner workings and even some of the relationship dynamics, I kind of feel like they nailed it, because I walked away angry, proud, upset.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. A couple more.
They did say that O'Neill and Mitchell were close, though. And they also did say, like, he came to the house met his kids.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually, like, was at his house, so maybe a little bit.
I don't know, man.
But who cares?
So, okay, yeah. Well, the flip to that is, like, you know, do you believe in the theory that you catch more bees with honey, right? So I can play the big bad oppressor, like, hey, go make this happen.
Right.
But I probably move you a little differently emotionally if you feel like, all right, you have a friend here, and you know what, I'm here to protect you.
Manipulation is always key.
Yeah. Okay. And with that said, guys, because I picked out this movie, and this is normally how I would normally go. Since I picked out the movie, you was good with it?
Oh yeah, definitely was good.
Good pick.
Yeah, it was definitely a good pick.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. What about you, Jeff?
Two fists.
I feel like I've heard that before. Two fists in a cup. No, two girls in a cup. Sorry. Anyway, guys, that's it.
Left real quick.
And on that note, thank you guys. So, you guys, if you haven't seen it, go check out the movie. It's a great watch. Watch it with your kids. Any age, any color, you guys should watch this movie, because at the end of the day, it is history. It's not taught in your textbook. It should be, but
be here when we review that movie.
Which one?
I'm sorry, I digress.